From the Green New Deal to worldwide youth climate strikes, young people are leading the charge for action on the environment. While youth climate activism is not a new phenomenon, the dire warnings about inaction give today's movement a heightened sense of urgency. Boston's Gina McCarthy, the former head of the Federal Environmental Protection Agency, sat down with two young local climate change leaders to talk about what drives them and the challenges they face.
My name's Audrey. I use she, her pronouns. I'm 18 years old. I'm from Watertown, and I just graduated high school.
My name is Saya Ameli Hajebi. I'm 17, go to Brookline High School.
And I am Jean McCarthy, and it's none of your business how old I am. but I'm twice as old as probably the two of them put together. So there we are.
Who wants to start? I really, really wanted to ask you kind of what got you started on the path to be into climate policy. And I'm really wondering if you did any activism like Audrey and myself here.
Well, Saya, I think I started on this path quite a while ago, and it was basically back in the 70s and 80s. And I really was interested in all of the pollution that was happening. I was worried about all of the paper that was being thrown out the window. I was worried about lead paint. I was worried about things you could see and feel and touch. You know, we were always driving our parents crazy to get them to pay attention. And I expect that you have the same journey. You're trying to drive me and others of my age crazy, and you should, because we have to change our thinking. And so I'm kind of interested in why climate change has become such a big part of your agenda, a big motivator.
I mean, you mentioned pollution, and actually my family moved here from Iran about 8 years ago. And so I lived in one of the most polluted cities of the world, Tehran. And it only, the kind of moment that I finally saw that difference was when I stepped off the plane at Logan Airport in Boston and I looked up and the sky was actually blue. So I want to channel that every time that I talk to other people my age, and I want to channel that when I talk to kind of the greater population of people to show just how close and personal these climate change issues are. They're right here. They're right next to us. It's just sometimes we don't see them.
That is extraordinary, Audrey.
Yeah. I think for a lot of kids our age, we've just kind of always grown up like knowing about global warming, knowing about climate change. But I didn't really understand the urgency of this issue until my sophomore year of high school when I'm writing this research project. And I just had this moment of, oh my gosh, climate change impacts everything that I know. And this has really pushed me towards taking action.
I can't tell you how much it sparks energy to have young people engaged in these issues, because it just reminds us of the sort of Madras t-shirts and tie-dyed t-shirts and bell bottoms we used to wear when we were marching in the streets. Do you get a lot of challenges about why are you doing this? Why aren't you in school? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I mean, talking with my grandfather about climate change and him just not understanding in any way that the urgency of this crisis. So I am currently on a gap year. I took a gap year specifically because I wanted to work with Sunrise Movement, and he just couldn't understand that. He thought that his understanding of how I'm using my time is kind of that I'm wasting my time, that I need to be going to college right now. He just doesn't get it.
Yeah.
So that's definitely been challenging.
But the important thing is you still love your grandfather, right?
Yes, I do. And for me, that's definitely been understanding like a both and, that he is both in relative denial of climate change and he's my grandfather and I love him a lot. So
he loves you as well, I'm sure. So probably in the back of his mind, he's dwelling on why this is such a big deal to you. And I think that's a good thing. One of the things I've really been bothered by is sort of an inability to make climate change part of everyday conversation. We have to, you know, not treat this like it's something that shouldn't be talked about, as opposed to something that ought to influence every choice in our lives.
So, Gina, how do you stay optimistic?
Yeah, you can't be unrealistic about the challenge, but you have to be hopeful for the future. And right now, it's very difficult for me because I ran the environmental agency in Washington, D.C., EPA, and a lot of what we did during the Obama administration is now being undone or attempted to be undone by this administration. So you really got to just take a deep breath and say, you know, what we did was right. What we did followed the science. And we're going to win in the end. You know, have you ever hung around with somebody who is just always crotchety? You just want to run the other direction, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, when you work in government and you're trying to motivate people, I'm not trying to scare them. I'm trying to embrace them. I'm trying to get them to think about the challenge in their viewpoint.
We've kind of reached a tipping point now where there's enough people that know this is an issue and are very motivated and have felt the impact in their own lives that they want to act.
One of the things that I appreciate the most about the Green New Deal, it is a resolution that really uplifts people on the front lines of poverty and pollution and is really looking to address the social wrongs that have been going on so much in our country. And I guess I'm just kind of curious, what do you believe are the biggest obstacles to achieving the goals of the Green New Deal?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think most people see it as being daunting because it tries to do so many things at once. But honestly, I'm so excited that it's part of the conversation. And I don't believe it would be if it wasn't for the Sayas and the Audreys of the world. So I want to make sure that anybody your age recognizes that when an administration like this may not be paying attention, it's not the end of the discussion. It's not the end of your opportunity to make progress, right?
Yeah, we're going to stay super hopeful.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful.
I'm just getting chills running down my back.
So if anybody tells you you're wasting your time, Audrey or Saya, you are not wasting your time. You're doing our business. You're working in a democratic process, and you're making this country work better. And I am so proud of you.
Thank you.
That was Saya Amali Hajibi, Audrey Lynn, and Gina McCarthy, former head of the Federal Environmental Protection Agency. This conversation was produced by WBUR's Miriam Wasser and is part of Covering Climate Now, a week-long global initiative of more than 250 news outlets.